Make sure we are live and recording. We're awesome. Good to go.
Perfect.
Brian Pollard.
Yes.
In the house.
Here.
I'm so excited that you agreed to meet with me today and just be on the podcast. I know some people are like, I'm kind of nervous, yeah. But you're just ask me anything. So we're ready to roll.
Yeah.
I guess I'll tell our listeners a little bit about how we know each other. And that's really just through the real estate industry, through a mutual friend, Michelle, mm-hmm. and connected us. And then you've been cranking it out in real estate, mm-hmm. cranking it out in fitness. Mm-hmm. I know I do want to talk about some of your fitness goals that you've set out to do over mm-hmm. the next 12 months and see where you're at on that.
Yeah.
And then also real estate, but then backtrack it because we've done a couple deals mm-hmm. in the real estate industry, but really it's just been real estate that I know you yeah. and high fives at the run clubs that I don't actually run, I walk. but any like fitness events, you know, and you've become a good friend just like through the process, but really getting to know you and your heart, where you started, how you ended up here.
Mm-hmm.
Austin is like a melting pot of people.
Yeah. It's been quite the journey.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, you know, I'm originally from Lynchburg, Virginia, a little okay. small town in Virginia, central Virginia. Grew up on a farm, believe it or not. And
I did not see that one coming.
Yeah. Cows and pigs and chickens.
Wow,
and, yeah.
Okay.
And so that was life growing up, you know, small town country boy. And went to Liberty University, where I graduated with a degree in finance. Happened to meet this girl, and I graduated, and she took me out to LA with her. So
it's always a girl
it's always a girl. And you know, we can get into that life, you know, maybe a little bit later, but spent 4 years there. It was I actually went out there to celebrate my birthday at the time. It was my how old are you when you graduate college?
Like 21.
Yeah, so it's probably my 21st birthday.
Okay.
And you know, nonetheless, it was pretty much a birthday party for 4 years.
Yeah. Oh, it didn't stop. Party went hard.
It did not stop. And yeah, I was out there for 4 years. You know, like I said, I'll talk about that story a little bit, which kind of led me into the fitness world. But, you know, I needed to get out. I was getting deep down in a dark, scary hole out in LA, you know, just to keep it, you know, transparent with you. And I was looking for any excuse out, and so I was actually back home 3 years ago, three Christmases ago, for Christmas, visiting my family, and I was talking to some friends, and I was like, man, you know, I'm looking for a job, like, trying to get out of LA, and somebody recommended me this company called ADP, which does payroll, which a lot of people are familiar with, and applied, and they're like, hey, can you be in Austin in 2 weeks, and so 2 weeks later, I packed up and moved to Austin.
Wow. And that was really like a pivotal moment for you, right? Because everything has totally changed. I didn't know that other side of you, but I've also heard that story before where it might not necessarily be LA, but a lot of the times it is LA, people moving to Austin. But just getting stuck in this rut and then knowing that you have to make a change. So thank you, ADP,
mm-hmm. yeah.
for just being the connector.
Yeah, and it was rough, and it's definitely not something I'm proud of, and it's not something I talk too much about. But, you know, as I grow this coaching business and try to relate more to a lot of people, because a lot of people are stuck in that rut, whether it's as deep as I was in or not, there's still a lot of vices that we have, a lot of distractions that we have that are really just getting in the way of us reaching our full potential. And that's what I was running into on a day in and day out in LA. And you know, like I said, not something I'm super proud of, but it led me to, you know, where I'm at today for sure, which I'm super grateful for. And you know, I posted a little bit about it on my Instagram before, and I have this side by side picture, and it's like, it says day one on one side, and then it's like my transformation pic of where I'm at today. And you know, one morning, just sick of the cyclical, you know, party scene, just 4, 5, 6, 7 days a week, just going at it. You know, I was like, it's got to be more to life than this. And
why do you think you were chasing that?
You know, I think there's a list of reasons. Number one, it's just not something that I was grew up around.
Mm.
You know, it was just like the new
right.
sensation, the new experience, the new gratification. But I think deep down, if you really look in, it was a bit of loneliness, a bit of trying to find my identity,
mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up in a Christian home, and I'm grateful
Liberty
for that.
Liberty University, went, I mean, that's, yeah.
A Christian college, the biggest Christian college. And I kind of got stale to that relationship with God. And then when I moved to LA, I mean, I was in Hollywood. That's a sin-filled world if I've ever seen one. And I just lost that connection. And, you know, I was trying to find that validation in the world, just on a serious note. And, you know, when in high school, we went out to Buffalo Wild Wings on Friday nights. And then, you know, in LA, I'm going out to the club with the most beautiful women in the world and bottles. And
everybody's chasing that same thing.
Celebrities and cars and money. And I thought I liked this fast life. And, you know, I still have friends out there and they're great people. It was just not the life for me.
Yeah.
And so,
you know, just going back to how you were raised, because I feel like I was in this strong Christian foundation and, you know, going through high school and college, but developing that relationship with God, that has to happen on your own. Like, you can be raised in the environment and that's great because you have some seeds sown into your heart, but then you go experience the world and you're like, dang, this is not fulfilling. And then crossing that bridge for yourself and developing that relationship on your own is huge. But yeah, I think part of it is everybody, and I've never been to LA, so I'm actually going to go out in a couple weeks to go see my cousin's show. But yeah, everybody's chasing, and it doesn't necessarily have to be LA, but it's just chasing that feeling of being fulfilled or validation.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, it's sad sometimes because when you're doing really well, you don't necessarily look to God.
Absolutely.
And it's always in the trenches that you, like, you're reaching, you know,
anybody
with that hand
out
up.
There?
Unfortunately, that's what it got to, you know, that's where life got for me, to make me realize you got to make a change. And, you know, fortunate enough, the only thing I knew how to do was get back in the gym, start that routine in life. And, you know, fitness saved me and continues to save me today.
Yeah, that's amazing. So talk to me about that. So you moved here to Austin. Did you immediately go into fitness, or was there a time that you just kind of like dove into work and got yourself settled?
Yeah.
What did that look like?
Yeah, so I mean, the fitness journey it had been some time. It actually started in LA. Me and my buddy had a training group called Training Beyond Limits, TBL, and we were training quote-unquote celebrities and, you know, influencers, if you will. And that's where it all started. And then, again, just way too distracted. And so, moved to Austin, worked for ADP for about a year. worked for ADP for about a year and then, realized that this was a rat race that I did not want to be a part of.
Yeah.
Just no significant. That's nothing to take away from the people that are crushing it in that life. It just wasn't for me. I just always been a super ambitious guy and wanting to maximize life in the absolute fullest. And I was like, man, there's gotta be something more out here. And so I got into real estate and, you know, this is kind of where, you know, over the last 6 months, I've kind of had to take a look in the mirror because I was just always chasing like money, you know, what could bring me the most money. And I think that's why I stepped into real estate at first. And then, like I said, about 6 months ago, I kind of had like a inward self-revelation of like, okay, like what is it that you really want to do? What is it that really brings you purpose and passion that you can get up and get excited for every day? And it just always comes back to fitness. And and I'm loving it. I'm loving it. And I'll still have a foot in real estate. I'll always have a foot in real estate. That's my retirement plan. That's just something I love. I love numbers. I love the, I have a degree in finance. Like that's what I love. But on the day to day, I much more enjoy the fitness, helping people really see the best in themselves and get the most out of this life that we have because we only have one of it. And I think that fitness is the best avenue for me to do that. And that's what led me here. You know, it's a work in progress. You know, we're changing things day in and day out, still growing ourselves, but I just think I can provide so much value and helping the person I was 6 years ago today. And so that's really what
that's so good. Helping the person that you were 6 years ago. Yeah, so many people are in that. I mean, even now they could be the happiest looking people, but everybody's going through it, you know, going and growing through it. So to have somebody like you that's invested, because when you're a personal trainer, you're not just a personal trainer writing fitness plans, right? Or workout programs. You are a therapist, you're a counselor, you know, you're a teacher, mentor, all the things, and not just in fitness, right? Because people come and that's where you get built and chiseled again and prepare yourself to be the best version. But if you've gone through it, you speak from a sense of like humility. I think there's more empathy for every client.
Absolutely. And I think you know, I don't have all the certs. I don't have, you know, all the knowledge. I'm not a doctor, like all these things. But what I do know is like how to get from where I was to where I am now. And I just want to be a vessel that can just pour that into someone else. And even if I'm just, you know, helping one or two people, like that's it for me. You know, I'm super happy if I can just inspire a couple people just to be the best that they can. And I'm on this whole thing of like, we really just have this one life. And a lot of people think like, oh, we're gonna live until we're 80, we're 90. And that's like a really selfish thought if you think about it, that we're gonna be fortunate enough to live this life for another 40, 50, 60 years, right? We're not promised tomorrow and we know that. And so why not just do everything we can to maximize and optimize this life that we have that is so short to the absolute fullest? And that's just what I want to help people do. And that's the journey I'm on. And I feel like as a leader, you really just have to be one step ahead of the person that you're leading. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. What are some actionable steps? So if you're talking to the person that you were 6 years ago and you're going to make a quick post on Instagram, what are some actionable steps that somebody can take immediately just so that they can feel it, maybe a sense of hope?
Yeah. Create a routine. My morning routine is my favorite, you know, just wake up, you know, I pray, I do my breath work, I do my meditation, and it just sets the tone for the day. You know, there's, we just get so caught up in this world. And I think, you know, for me, one thing that somebody can do is just put down the phone, you know, like if that was one actionable step, just put down the phone. How many times do we wake up in the morning and the first thing we do is we start scrolling?
Guilty.
Right?
Yeah.
We just get in this doom scroll and we're just comparing and wishing life was different. And it just puts our nervous system out of whack and it just sets up the rest of the day for not to be optimized. And so starting off with a solid morning routine, you know, it really can just set the motion for the week or for the day, excuse me.
So you said meditation, prayer, is there also like diet too? That's a big part of it as well.
Of course. And I think there's definitely layers to it all. I'm not a huge proponent of diet, just because I think I like to preach like sustainability. And so let's create good habits versus like diets, you know. So let's reward the good things rather than like a list of like I can't do this. And so diets, you know, 90% of the work, of course. But we got to start with step one, and that's just, you know, waking up in time, you know, keeping the promises that we make to ourselves. Like if we can't keep the promises that we're making to ourselves, we're never gonna be able to keep a diet, you know. And so you know, if we can just wake up when we say we're going to wake up, go to the gym when we say we're going to go to the gym, eat what we say we're going to eat, you know, don't eat what we say we're not going to eat, right? And just start these little wins and start stacking the small wins. And, the, you know, the book Atomic Habit talks a lot about it, is habit stacking. And so, you know, for a lot of people that are struggling with some of these, you know, they put this pressure on them like, oh my God, I got to make a whole lifestyle change. Well, you do, but it all starts with like just one step, you know, like, you don't have to go run a marathon, like, but go downstairs, lace up your shoes, and walk outside. That's step one, okay? Come back in, take your shoes off, and go about your day. Okay, now lace up. Next day, lace up and go run a half a mile, right? And then maybe go run a mile. And then over time, you start developing these habits and these routines, and then it's it becomes your identity of, like, who you really are. And I think that's where you start to see the change. But, you know, what I think a lot of people do is put a lot of pressure on themselves that they have to change overnight. And this is a whole journey, right? And we have to enjoy the process, and there's going to be ebbs and flows. Like over the last 6 years, and I keep saying this 6 year mark because this is when I really started to take my fitness journey serious, it's been ups and downs. Success is not linear. And so I think it's vitally important that we you know, start to stack these habits and change our identity of who we really are, because if not, it's just going to be like a diet. It's just going to be a fad.
You
know? And so inherently we have to change. Like, I am this person. That's how you look at yourself in the mirror. I am fit. I am a great wife. I am a great husband. I am a business owner. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the best mortgage lender in Austin, in Texas, right? Like, I am statements. And
Yeah, I think one thing that you said there was just doing the things that you said that you were going to do. Mm-hmm. And that is what builds the small confidence, mm-hmm. right? I was listening to Ed Milet a couple of weeks ago, and one of the podcasts that he posted was exactly that we're out here trying to just set this huge goal, but really, can you wake up when you said you were going to wake up, like you said? Mm-hmm. And that one little commitment to yourself is a huge win. Or can you just make your bed every day? Mm-hmm. And that little commitment builds the confidence to then create an identity.
Of course.
Versus just like jumping right into an identity and then losing it because it's a fad.
100%. Yeah. And I mean, you hit on it, and my light talks about it great. It's like, self-confidence doesn't come from saying affirmations in the mirror or writing them down in the journal. It's about doing what you said you're going to do, keeping those promises to yourself. And how many times we make promises to ourselves and then don't keep them? Like little things.
Yeah.
Like little things. And subconsciously, that's training us that we don't trust ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so how are you going to entrust yourself with these big changes if you can't do one simple task?
Yeah. I mean, that actually is the basis for this foundation, or for this foundation, for this podcast, because I've been wanting to do a podcast for so long. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to set a date. And whether I feel good or don't feel good, and ironically, I was actually under the weather that day, but I was like, I made a commitment to myself. And then those little wins build some momentum in your life so that you can shift that momentum into your direction. But I'm super proud of you, Ryan. I know that you said you're like, I'm not proud of that person that you used to be, but I am proud of that person because that is part of your story, right? And who you're working to become to be able to impact people on not just a fitness level, but really like a mental level, right? To expand people's mental capacity.
Yeah.
One of the things that you are doing right now, which I find pretty exciting, you announced it, I think it was like maybe December or January, that your goal was to run a marathon a month. But just running one marathon is intense. So how is that going? What is the training like? Did you just decide to do that? Why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. What's the thought behind it? And Brian is such a trooper because he showed up today and he's like, I'm a little under the weather, but we're going to make it happen. Yep. So thank you for being here.
I apologize.
My body's talking to me.
My body's talking to me. But that's a great question. and it goes back to the self-confidence piece, really. Like, I was like, okay, I've been stacking these small wins. I've been keeping these promises to myself. You know, I go to the gym every day. I've trained for a marathon 20 weeks straight. No going out, no doing this, no doing that, no traveling, none of that. I kept all these promises to myself. So how can I take it up a notch? And so I wanted to create a goal that was so big and so scary and so far out that when I completed it at the end of the year, I could look back and really think to myself, like, okay, if I can do this, there's really nothing else that I can't do. Mm. And so if you think about it, like you said, running a marathon is hard. Running a marathon every month is hard, right? And so by creating this goal over this extended amount of period of time, I have to show up for myself, not day in and day out, not week in and week out, but month in and month out, year in and year out, every single day, doing the little things that I know I have to do every single day to accomplish these goals, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's just impossible for me to get to the end of this challenge for myself and look back and be like, you know what, Brian, like, you can really do anything that you put your mind to. And so that's where it all kind of started. And then selfishly,
a little bit of like David Goggins in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's the second part. It's like, you know, selfishly enough, it's a little bit of a science project, you know, like what really can you do, bro? Like how far really mentally and physically can you go? Like you say you're a fitness coach, so you know, you're trying to lead these people, but like to yourself, like how far can you really go, Brian? Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to put myself to the test, and it's been quite a journey. I'm 3 in. I'm supposed to run another one next week, and you know, we'll see how this we'll see how this cold hangs over. Yeah. But it's been quite a journey, and you learn a lot about yourself. And then I would say, like, the third note is like, there's just nothing more therapeutic than being out there for 3-4 hours by yourself, no music, in the Hurt Locker, and then you really get to find out like
what you're made of.
What you're made of.
Yeah. What are some of the conversations that happen in your mind? I mean, obviously one of them is like, this is so hard, but what are some of the other dialogues that you have found that have come out on mile 18, mile 22? Yeah.
That you can literally do anything you put your mind to. Anything you put your mind to. I mean, I am out there. This last marathon I ran in San Antonio, I was so deep in the Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
So deep. This is the worst pain I've ever been in my entire life, and I am not exaggerating. But had to be done, and you have to keep going. And if you really put your mind to it, you can do incredible feats, number one. And it all starts with, like, the self-talk that you have with yourself, right? I think a lot of times that, you know, if we talk to other people the way that we talk to ourselves, we wouldn't have any friends.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
And so you have to reframe the way that you're talking to yourselves. And, like, you know, I was running it with my buddy Zen, and, you know, he was gone. Like, I'm by myself. Like, it ain't many people running this marathon, and it's, I'm mile 20, and I'm like, dude, I just want to quit.
Yeah.
I just want to stop. Like, and they have these, like, cones, so you're running up, and then you have to come back down. I could easily just cross right over. Like, you know, just, like, little things. And it's like, are you really going to do that? You're going to keep integrity to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to keep integrity to the sport? You're going to keep integrity to your friends? Like, also, how are you going to talk to yourself when your back's up against the wall? Because that's when you grow, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like when your back's really up against the wall. And so it's a self journey. It's a self-exploration journey to see really, like, and then you come out of it and you finish the race. You're like, wow, like, man, maybe I could have went a little bit. Maybe I could have went a little harder too. It's like, you know, it's like,
you're like, it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say it's never that bad, but it's, you know, you can do it. So
yeah, it's amazing because that is where the growth is. And I mean, even when I look back at my own life, and I was, prior to mortgage lending, I was a speech therapist for 12 years. I don't know if you knew that, and then totally just decided to flip the switch on, like you said, doing something that will allow you to reach your potential. And not that I was a bad person or, you know, wasn't goal-oriented, because I definitely was when I was in that field. But I think that something happens in the mind when you start to prove yourself to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I look back, these last couple of years were hard, so hard. But I would do it again 10 times over to be the person that I am today. And I think that you would say the same thing, even though you say that you weren't proud, but that person that you were back 6 years ago, imagine telling that person you're going to run a marathon a month.
Yeah.
Like, that is crazy, know? But to show that life journey for you, and only just beginning, right?
100%.
It's like, what else 100%. Can you accomplish?
Yeah, a couple things on that is I think just doing hard stuff, it's just so important. And there's a Andrew Huberman and David Goggins podcast, and I don't know if you've heard of this one, but there's this part in your brain where it's responsible for willpower, and doing hard things grows that part in your brain. And then the less hard stuff you do, the more the part of the brain shrinks.
Yeah.
And so it's like, what can we do every single day to grow that part of our brain, which is responsible for the willpower? And he goes on to say, it's like, it's not only just your willpower, but, like, your will to live, right? And I thought that was so powerful. It's like, a lot of times we just get so content, so complacent, especially, like, nowadays, where it's just, like, nobody wants to do anything remotely hard. It's like, how easy can I get things done? And I don't think that's what we were brought here on earth
to do.
Yeah.
No, COVID, I think, did a number on people where their mindset was, like, it gave everybody, or the world gave everybody permission that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's safe to live in this space.
Mm-hmm.
Back in speech therapy, there's a diagnosis that would occur, and it's called failure to thrive, right? And it's when, you know, a baby is born and there's for some reason they were born with this, like, not a desire to live, right? So maybe they're not hungry, or maybe they don't like to walk, or they don't want to practice walking, or whatever it is, but they're actually given the diagnosis failure to thrive. Mm. And although that can exist, like, as a baby, I think that so many adults are diagnosed with that today, but it's not an actual diagnosis. Failure to thrive and living in that mindset versus, like, growing, doing hard things to challenge that side of your brain. It's so huge. Yeah.
So huge. And I brought this up on the other podcast, and not to be a broken record, but I think it's important because a lot of us, especially towards our loved one, I would do anything for them. Mm-hmm. You know, people say that about their family. I would do anything for your family.
Yeah.
But, like, will you get healthy? You know, like, like where you really get healthy, you know? And I think that's just like such an important thing. And, you know, obviously as a fitness coach, I value health and fitness, but it's hard. You know, it's hard. It's hard every single day to like have self-control, wake up and do the things that we know we're supposed to do. But it just all comes with discipline, and discipline relieves anxiety. And, you know, you can do it or you can't, whatever you believe, you know, whatever that saying is.
Yeah. I mean, it's a much easier yes for most people if a friend is inviting you to have drinks and chips and queso versus like going to a run club at 6 a.m., which you have on Thursdays today. Mm-hmm. So you've been at it this morning, crushing the day. But yeah, that those disciplines, right? What is the name of that book? That it's easier. You can either do things or not do things, but it's easy. The decision is easy between the two.
Right.
And I think Austin, though, has created an environment where there are a lot of fitness-friendly communities, so you don't necessarily have to be the wild person to fit in. There's an outlet for that, but you still have to choose that for each individual person.
Yeah, 100%.
So what is the big goal for you? I mean, after accomplishing this marathon a month at the end of, you know, in December when that's crossed off the list, is there another goal that you're looking to? Is there something, or what's the bigger picture for fitness for you?
Yeah, I mean, the goal is always, the goal is the path. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Me and my buddy Derek talk about that a lot, and I think that's a Buddhist proverb or something. It's the goal is the path. And so I'm just falling in love with the process, because how I used to look at things is, when I get here, then I will be this, right? And that's it's very toxic in thinking, because you're always moving that goalpost to represent when you will be happy. And so I've just become so focused on enjoying the process despite the end goal, because there really is no end goal. The goal is the path that I'm currently on. And so I know that's not really answering your question. I think there will be many other fitness type goals that I'll have, whether it's high rocks or running an ultra or some other absurd
crazy thing.
But really just trying to maximize and optimize myself as a human being as much as absolutely physically possible. And I think we are just, as humans, we are just capable of so much. And it's like, I'm just scratching the surface. Like, how deep and evolved can I get? And you know, I don't have any crazy, I think I just need to finish this one fitness thing. I think it's probably going to be more so on the business side of things.
Okay.
You know, focusing on growing that coaching business. But we'll see.
Yeah. Well, that's what is the vision for your coaching business? Is it more going to be geared towards just a couple of clients? Do you have like a big game plan for that? Or what is that for you?
Yeah, for sure. You know, right now I'm, focusing on the product that I'm providing, the service that I'm providing to be the best service possible. And so I think a lot of people in business, they try to grow too big too quick and it dilutes the quality of the service or the product. For me, I'm really just focusing on the product and the service and making sure that is to a T, and then I'll start to scale. And so, you know, over the next 12 months, like, I'm taking my time. Like, this fitness thing is something I'll do for the next 20 years, the next 30 years. And really it's just a project on myself of optimizing myself, and then whatever I'm learning I can pass on to my clients. And so I want to grow this, you know, this business enough to buy enough real estate to take care of me and mine. But that's the big goal. I would say deeper than wide, for sure, though. I'm gonna go a mile deep before and an inch wide.
It's almost like you're building the foundation within yourself as you're building the foundation of your business.
Of course.
And as you scale your mind, right, your business will also scale. So that's really awesome that it's coming together.
Yeah, and I think in business, like, you know, a lot of the businesses that people create are solving problems that they have, that the business owner has. And that's essentially what I'm doing. And so,
Is all of this, because, you know, obviously we don't just happen to come across like some of the greats, you know, David Goggins or Ed Milet or Huberman or whatever, all of these people that we listen to, there's the different books that are just game changers. Joe Dispenza is one of them, right? So many people don't even know that this exists, right? Was this something that you were raised with your family? Or, because I know chickens, cows, all the things. Mm-hmm. Like, where was that introduced to you mm-hmm. to flip that switch?
Yeah, that's a it's a great question. I think, you know, shout out to my family. I love them. Very traditional in the aspect of go to college, get a job, work that job until you can't, and then hopefully have enough to retire.
Yeah.
And save along the way. And that's just what I was instilled in for 21 years of my life. And they still don't understand, like, why I don't have a real job. That's what they call it. And so
they're like, what is he doing down there in Austin?
Literally. And I think inherently, like I said, I've just have this extra tick of ambition mm-hmm. to really just want more. And so I would say Austin for sure was kind of LA, I saw a lot of like, okay, well, these people ain't any better than me.
Right.
But they have a lot more than me. And so it's capable. So that was kind of like my first glimpse of like, okay, these guys are 22, 23-year-old multimillionaires, right? So the capability is there. I know I'm smarter than them. I work harder than them, you know. So it's just about finding the resources to make those things happen. But it really was until, honestly, like about 6 months ago, you know, I read the book How to Break the Habit of Being Yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's by Dr. Joe Dispenza. Mm-hmm. And it's really just, you know, based on our entire life growing up, we were wired our subconscious or programmed our brains or our
computer systems,
thank you, to run a certain way. And so until we can consciously become aware of that subconscious computer, we'll never change. Mm-hmm. And so I'm on a journey of like becoming more conscious of to why I think, the why I do, why I, you know, view mm-hmm. life the way that I do. And so yeah, it's a journey.
And then rewiring it. Yeah. Right?
First, you got to become aware, mm-hmm. and then you have to, you know, start the rewiring. And so that's where I'm at now.
That's amazing. So I grew up very different, much more entrepreneurial minded. And so when I got a job and started working and held that for 12 years, I was like, dang, I see my parents just like having a 3-hour lunch and there I am eating like 30 minutes and going back to the grind. So I'm always amazed. And I think maybe social media has a little bit to do with it, because not that we see the grass is greener on the other side, but it's exposed us to a whole other world out there. And we're like living in this little bubble. Whereas before, like, that's all we had access to was this little bubble. So we'd go to work, come home, and that's safe. Mm-hmm. But now when we look at our parents, and even for some people, their grandparents, like, the light at the end of the tunnel is not bright mm-hmm. as far as getting a job, working for 40 years, mm-hmm. and then having enough for retirement, because they might take, like, one or two cruises, mm-hmm. and that's about it, mm-hmm. right? But there's a whole world that I think God made for us to be able to experience. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's nothing wrong with having a job. Some people are wired that way, which I'm very grateful for.
Mm-hmm. We need them.
Yeah, we need them. But then also really grateful for people like you that have tapped into that potential, have noticed that, and then done the work to get there and tap that potential. Because so many people are living a life that way and just continually frustrated.
For sure.
You know, the worst thing is to be frustrated and not do anything about it.
100%.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and the work's hard.
Absolutely.
The work is hard. It's so much easier to fall into the status quo and just be told what to do. And anyone listening out there, like, entrepreneurship is not fun. Like, it's glorified, but it is not fun. I mean, it is very hard. And especially when you have the choice to, like, I can take today off or I cannot take today. Like, I just want to be in bed right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, like, there's no days off, you know, especially in the first, you know, 5-10 years of things. And that's another thing. It's like, I feel like a lot of times we look at success in such short time windows. Mm-hmm. And that's where something I'm really working on. It's not like when people ask me, like, oh, how many clients do you have, all this, especially in real estate. When I first started mm-hmm. in real estate, how many houses have you sold?
Yep.
I'm like, dog, I'm thinking in decades.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking in weeks and months. Yeah. You know, that's not how things work. That's not how success works. Of course, people get fortunate and mm-hmm. quote unquote lucky. I wouldn't say lucky, but they get fortunate enough to, you know, pop off here and there. Good for them. But, like, on a normal business route, like, I'm thinking in decades, mm-hmm. right? And even with, like, wealth and success in my own personal life, like, I'm thinking, like, okay, 40, 50. And when I get to 40 and 50, like, I used to think that was old. Like, that's prime time, baby. Like, you know, I'm looking forward to that part of life because of the stuff that I'm doing now. And we can really shift that window that we're looking through and thinking decades versus months and years. I think that allows us to be way more suited for success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And going back to what you said in the very beginning of that statement is, for anybody listening, entrepreneurship is so hard. Mm-hmm. It is so hard.
It's very hard.
I can't even count maybe on like all my fingers.
Yeah.
It's more than that. How many times I've cried and thought like, is this even going to work? And how are the bills going to get paid and all the things. Mm-hmm. And obviously like those are normal emotions, but there's a huge risk, right? When you're working for yourself.
It's very much so.
But,
and the failures are going to come, and like we live in a social media filled world where everybody's just showing their highlights and like they almost demonize people that are failing. Mm-hmm. But that's just such a beautiful part of the process is the failures. And if we can embrace those, chalk it back up, learn from them and keep it moving, that's how you build a business. That's how you really grow. And it's through these failures. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be confident enough to know that like, my success doesn't lie in what you think or what Joe thinks or what Don thinks of how I'm succeeding in my business. It lies in myself. And I know that, you know, if I continue to do what I know I need to do every single day, week in, week out, decade in, decade out, it's impossible for me not to fail.
Yeah, that's...
Or not to succeed.
So, yeah, not to succeed. I mean, that's the whole premise behind today's podcast with The Chase and the Truth, because there are lots of myths, I feel like, that are tied in with the truth of success where, you know, oh, they were lucky, or it was like an overnight success and all of a sudden they've got all these followers on social media, which I think social media has the biggest thing to do with it, because one video will go viral and now they have 100,000 followers, right? And now they've got credibility. And so there's this trying to undo what the definition of success is and what people define as like the truth of success, because that's defined in the chase, right? In the grind of things and where the failures are. Mm-hmm. What is one failure that you would say in your life? And I mean, it doesn't have to be too personal or too deep, or it can be just for any listener that's tuning in today and they're even thinking about getting into entrepreneurship or making a move or changing their identity with one step. What is one failure that you went through that you would say was like a game changer outside of like the party life and all of it, something very specific within the grind for you?
Yeah. I'm not sure if it is specific, like one failure, but more so being misunderstood, the repercussion of the failure. It's just being misunderstood. And that's the hardest part about it. Especially like with my family and friends from back home, it's like, you know, they're rooting for me, of course, and I feel the love, but I just don't know if my parents really understand, you know? And so, you know, I hope that they know that, you know, I know that they're proud of me, and, you know, I hope they live long enough to see like the fruits of the labor. But it is hard being misunderstood sometimes, and not being, I wouldn't say not supported, because I feel like I am supported for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But going against what they had envisioned for my life would be probably the hardest thing for me.
Wow, that was unexpected. I thought you were going to say like, you know, one little thing that happened, you didn't wake up on time. I don't know, just something, you know, something like, but that is huge. Mm-hmm. And so many people are misunderstood, but it's harder because for me anyway, like I wouldn't want to be misunderstood by my parents, but also, feel like they're disappointed in me for not going down the path that they think is the right path. So that's got to be a constant mental battle with like, you know, you have like a deeper drive to accomplish things or to get things done, because we all want our parents to be proud of us, you know, especially if you were raised so traditional. I could totally relate to what that feels like as like a tight-knit family, and this is the game plan and this is what we're gonna do, and life is not panning out that way, and they're like, wait a minute, I know I raised a good son, you know. And they did, but that misunderstanding of like who you're actually becoming, and no doubt about it, with the actual things that you're doing today, the daily disciplines, because I watch the Instagram stories, I'm dialed in, I see those daily actions. First of all, one, to do the daily things, but then also to capture it on video is like also really hard.
It is.
So
it is.
So that is another level of discipline to be able to do that, edit it all, and then put it on the gram is something else.
Well, it keeps you honest, you know?
For sure. Yeah,
it keeps you honest keeps with that.
Yeah, I can just like imagine the, you know, placing the camera, like grabbing it again. And
anything you want to do, you got to add another extra hour into it to make sure you get all the shots. And it's comedy, but look, I enjoy it. It is comedy, and I enjoy it, and I don't take it too serious, and I love doing it. And it's, for me, it's like, I can't wait to look back on this stuff years down the road.
Yep.
Years down the road. Like, you know, you have those old picture books from when we were little. Like, I'm just creating a picture book, and this is just my journey, and I'm documenting it along the way, and I'm having a dang good time at it. And, of course, you know, people have their things to say, but look, man, this is my life. You got yours. Mm-hmm. I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the people that slide into my DMs every once in a while and say, hey, man, you're really inspiring me. And that's that right there does it all for me. You know, like I said, even if it's just one person that I can inspire to just go out there and give it your dang all, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That, and looking back like a photo album, but even now you have a photo album, right? Of like what you, who you were a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if you still have those, but I've gone back to like my old Instagram and gone through, and I'm like, wow, that person is so different from the person that I am today. And I'm sure you could say the same thing for yourself. Mm-hmm. So actively creating that, you're like, I'm not posting this for you, I'm posting this for myself.
Those highlight reels are hilarious at the top of the top of the post.
I'm like, yeah. Well, Brian, I'm so excited for who you're becoming.
Thank you.
And I know that the pride and the misunderstanding and all of that from your family's perspective is going to go out the window, because success is absolutely inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And right now you're in that grind and that chase, and I'm just excited to know you and be a bystander.
Appreciate
of
it.
Who you're going to become in at even at the end of this year. And we'll look back at this podcast, maybe have another one and talk about what you went through this year and what you learned in the Hurt Locker.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first marathon is great. Mm-hmm. Second marathon, you're like, okay. Third marathon, you're like, what am I getting myself into?
Getting old real quick.
Yeah. You're like, I have how many more?
But this is where the money's made, you know?
Oh, just yes.
In business, like, you're going to have your, you know, business is a J curve. You're up here when you first start, and then you drop down, and it's right. What are you doing when you're back down here?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is where greatness happens, is when you're at the bottom from coming from the top, and you got to get up, put on your
virtues. Your dues.
Yep. And then it's the slow trek on back up to the top. And so you gotta enjoy it though.
Yeah,
you gotta have fun with it.
I'm excited to know you in the trenches.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on today and being real, giving some nuggets to our listeners out there.
Thanks.
And we will touch base with you in a couple months.
Yes. Looking forward to it.